Great Scott!
You a sports fan who loves to have a good laugh?
Oh yeah!
Then you're in the right place.
I'm gonna make him an offer again.
Life moves pretty fast.
The Patriots win the
Welcome
Super Bowl.
Welcome to the Man Cave Chronicles.
Everybody, welcome to this week's podcast. This week I have author and entrepreneur Nick Britton. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
So what's going on? What's new with you?
Not much. I'm down in Miami right now with this crazy hurricane season. Every day there's a different storm coming this way. So I miss New England this time of the year.
Yeah. What before we start talking about your books, tell the listeners, so where are you from?
Originally, I'm from a small town called Foxborough, Massachusetts, which, as you guys know, it's football season right now. It's where the Gillette Stadium is. I grew up a diehard Patriot fan, and that's part of my story. I was fortunate enough to play college football up in Vermont, where I lived for about 5-6 years after college. And then at the age of 25, I quit my job, drained out my 401k, and decided I was going to move down to Miami to pursue my dreams of becoming an entrepreneur, of writing a book, and of truthfully achieving more.
Yeah. Well, and why Miami out of all the places?
I remember crystal clear. It was January 2015, and I looked at my electric bill up in Vermont, and it said average temperature, -7 degrees. And I remember, and I said to my friends, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this cold weather. I'm done with the snow. I'm done. I'm leaving. And so what I did is I committed to it. I told all my friends and peers I was leaving, and I was going down to Miami because I thought, like, that was a cool, somewhat sexy place to go to. I'm in a third world country right now, I'm sure you can imagine. But I escaped the weather for South Florida weather.
Yeah. How was it growing up in Foxborough and in Massachusetts? You know, I'm from Massachusetts my whole life, pretty much. How was it growing up there?
I enjoyed it at that time, truthfully. In high school and whatnot, I was probably a troublesome kid. And I thought, you know, it was just small town New England and small town, really this country, how it is, where everyone knows your business. There's good things and bad things to that. Part of my story is I got in trouble in high school. And I remember the local newspapers would be like, star football player gets arrested. And that's a big part of my story because, you know, over 10 years ago, I was not a good human being. And part of this growing up process, I am. So I love New England at that time. I thought it was kind of cliquey but I realized that's how this country is in most little pockets of it.
Yeah. So after high school, where did you attend college?
I went to Norwich University, which is in Northfield, Vermont. And then I went to graduate school at the University of Vermont, which is a little bigger than Northfield, Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah. I had a cousin that went to Norwich University also.
It's a special place up there.
Yeah, he went there to be an architect.
Yeah, that's a great architect school.
So you have two books. You have one that's called Lessons from the Little Ones, and what's the other one called? No Success.
Yes, sir.
And they're both on the bestseller list.
And, yes, they fluctuate all the time. But the past week on one of those books, I had about 700 sales as a self-published author, which is pretty impressive for about 5 days.
Yeah. And what inspired you to write these books?
Truthfully, I was 26 years old at Norwich's military academy. And a lot of my friends were getting out of the military, and they didn't really know how to transition into civilian life. They did absolutely amazing things, served their country, been to places that, you know, us, quote, normal folk don't even imagine, but at the same time, they lost the sense of themselves. And a lot of them were reaching out to me for help. you know, 25, 26 years old. Maybe they forgot how to talk to a girl. And they, you know, I remember one of my good friends told me he didn't see a girl for 3 years. And that was very challenging for him to figure out how to become a functioning member of society. So really, it started with, you know, all this advice I was given to my peers and my colleagues. A light bulb went off in my head. And a lot of people I know, a lot of entrepreneurs have that light bulb moment where I'm like, wait, everything I'm telling you are just experiences that I witnessed as a preschool teacher. And that's where that big idea came from, that truthfully, we all have the necessary tools to achieve success in the life that we know we deserve. We just need to learn how to tap into that. Yeah.
So you were 26 when you first started writing your first book, right?
Yeah, probably 26, 27. And I, you know, and it was a difficult process. And, you know, a lot of people assume I was a good, I'm a good writer. And that couldn't be the furthest from the truth. I'm probably a subpar writer with incredible work ethic, and I just don't give up on anything I do. There's been days and weeks where I sat in front of my computer for dozens of hours and deleted everything I wrote.
Yeah. How long was the process for your first book? Like, how long did it take you to write it?
The big idea started I'm huge on social media. I love social media. And come January 1st, everyone talks about resolutions and goals and what they're going to do for the new year. My goal in 2016 was to write a book. So from January 1, I got laser-like focus on my goal to write a book. And that was, I wrote it down every single day. I'm going to write a book today. I'm going to write a book. You know, I'm going to write a book by 12/31, 2016. And, you know, by the 4th of July, my book was out and published, which is great.
Yeah, so it was about half a year almost?
Yes, the whole process took a half a year, and it was, you know, like everything else in life, it was a learning curve.
Yeah.
The Man Cave Chronicles on Twitter at the MCC Podcast. We'll be right back.
RotoWear.com.
RotoWear.
Big shout out to the RotoWear company.
It's so goddamn comfortable.
Can't recommend them enough, man. Yeah. High quality t-shirts.
Shout out to RotoWear.com.
You see me rocking the shirts on the videos and stuff like that.
Where'd you get that?
RotoWear.
That is courtesy of RotoWear.
It's just the highest quality of shirt.
Yeah, I really like the baseball designs you got here.
The shirt is beautiful.
Everybody who I've talked to who has the shirt basically says they can't believe how good the quality is.
Yeah, Ken, I've seen you. I've been getting a lot of love. You said you've been only running for a little over a month.
CBS guys are tweeting out shirts. I'm seeing fantasy personalities everywhere digging this guy's shirt.
I love the Run DFS shirt.
It comes with baseball cards with all the different shirts on it.
RotoWear on Twitter. Check out RotoWear.com.
Oh my God. Is this shirt making love to me right now? Like, what's going on? I love this shirt.
This is Adam Nutter.
And this is Greg Trout.
And we're Nerds with Words. And you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Hey guys, Brian Padone here, founder of Quiet Punch. When I'm not listening to the Man Cave Chronicles, you can catch me filming one of my live workouts on quietpunch.com. Check it out today. That's quietpunch.com.
How did you come up with the idea for each book that you wrote? Do you want to explain to the listeners like what each book is about?
Yeah, so to be honest with you, both books are very, very similar. My first book, and you know, I love your podcast, and I wrote it the way I like to read books, very factual, very straight to the point, very blunt. And it's probably, I think, 50 pages of just, you know, facts and in your face examples of how to achieve success, in my opinion, of success. And I talk a lot about success. And, you know, the biggest disclaimer is success is different for every person. You know, as long as everyone has a different perspective of success. However, you know, we can all achieve our potential.
Yeah. Who is like your target audience for this book?
Or for my target audience, in contrary to popular belief, a lot of people think it's for teachers, a lot of people think it's for children, a lot of people think it's for parents. And my target audience is truthfully for every individual man or female, parent or not parent, who want to achieve more, who want to achieve a better life, to achieve something greater than they're doing.
And now you were, we spoke like what about a month ago before you went on tour?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So tell us about your tour and, you know, how did that go and where you went and, you know, how was the society for your books? How did that go in those areas?
Yeah, very uniquely, I actually went on tour to Europe. And when you think of Europe and selling books and whatnot, you think of the UK and France and Italy. And I did a lot of market research about some of the Baltic states, such as Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Belarus, a lot of places by the Baltic Sea, Eastern European, I believe they call it. And very uniquely, where in America, bookstores are going out of business, but in this little pocket of Europe, they're creating bookstores. The book market is getting more and more popular, and the soft cover, hardcover books are selling twice as fast in these little countries than in America. So it was an amazing experience to get out of myself, coming from small town New England, and it was just, it's totally different than you can imagine here. You know, here, yeah. In my opinion, Amazon's taking over the world. It you know, with Whole Foods and everything it is. And there, it's like kind of like 30 years behind. And it's a cool, slow pace.
Yeah. So did you, like, visit different, like, bookstores and then a book signing and promote it?
Yes. It wasn't really book signings. It was more, to be honest with you, probably salesy and meeting with people and just truthfully getting my feet into that market. I found out that whenever you translate a book to a different language, you can't just go to Google Translate and do it. There's like a clearinghouse, and they make sure that you translate it the right way. And it's a weird situation. But my books right now are in the process of getting translated to a couple of those smaller languages, so then we can do a bigger tour over there.
Yeah. How long were you there for?
I was there for 2 weeks. And that's the cool thing about being an entrepreneur is I have that flexibility to, you know, really do as I want whenever I want.
Yeah. Actually, one of my last questions is, how did you become an entrepreneur? Like, what were the ideas that you set for a goal to become an entrepreneur?
The biggest thing is I remember being in graduate school, and I was in grad school working a full-time job while a full-time student in grad school, and I was managing a bar, and I was working probably 70 hours a week in class for 35 hours a week, barely sleeping, and I realized I was just exchanging my time for a paycheck. And there's nothing wrong with that, but for me, I needed to do something more. You know, I would go to the bar and I'd be like, this is great, I'm making $20 an hour. But then I came to a conclusion, I'm like, my time is worth more than $20 an hour. And that was a big epiphany for me, because I remember being a kid, you know, making $6 an hour. Yeah. And then just valuing my time, and I hit that tipping point where I honestly said, screw this, I'm done, I need to do more, I need to achieve more. So I did the hardest part, and to me, that was quitting my job. I knew if I quit my job and like really committed to my big picture goal, which is to help as many people as possible, the rest would be easy.
Yeah. Now, you also, did I hear you correctly? Are you in real estate also?
Yes. I own currently right around a dozen real estate properties. Very fortunate for it. So that gives me a little residual income to luckily, you know, pay my bills. Cause you know, the way I get paid, there'll be months where honestly, you know, there'll be months where I barely make a couple hundred bucks doing things. And then there'll be a month where I make $25,000-$30,000.
Yeah.
And that's how it is in my line of work. A lot of people don't talk about that because I guess, you know, maybe a podcast isn't the best place. But at the same time, you know, it's the truth. It's the rawness. So I needed some type of small cash flow just to, just to survive.
Yeah. All right. And the last thing is, how can the listeners find your books?
Yes, the biggest, the easiest way. My books are available everywhere, and social media is huge. But if you can just go to my website, which is www.nickbritton.com, N-I-C-K-B-R-I-T-T-O-N.com, and you can see the links there. You know, and I'm a firm believer Amazon's taking over the world. It's a crazy thing what they're doing. So my books are, you know, Amazon is the best way to come across and find my books.
And how can the listeners find you on social media? What platforms are you on?
Yes, social media is huge. Twitter is probably your best bet. I have around 20-something thousand followers on Twitter, and that's / NJ Britton. Twitter at NJ Britton. And in closing, my biggest thing is I want to help people. So if you shoot me a message, if you shoot me an email, a direct message, I will respond to it myself. I want to connect with people. I want to connect with men. I want to connect with people on the same path as me and to achieve truly greatness together.
All right. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before we end the podcast?
No, that's it. I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and hopefully you'll come back on in a few months and let us know how everything's going.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Man Cave Chronicles. Follow them on Twitter at the MCC Podcast. We'll catch you next time.